The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In the chapters leading up to this final chapter of Nehemiah, we've seen how the fervor of revival overtook the Jews that had returned to Jerusalem. Not only did they rededicate themselves to the law and the work of the temple, but they promised to do over and above that which the law required. However, now we see that their leader Nehemiah has returned briefly to Persia, and that the zeal they had has subsided, and they've begun to go back on those promises. Join us today for the first half of this sermon entitled, Forsaking Their Promises.
Of God, who hath taught
I want to go back to the 13th chapter of Nehemiah tonight. We're sort of finishing up. We may have one more sermon after this to just sort of summarize and wrap it up. But you may recall that if you go back to Nehemiah 10 and 11 and 12, they made some promises to the Lord after that the Lord had blessed them to build the wall, to rebuild the walls that had been broken down and the gates that had been burned by fire. And it was such a glorious time. They actually, they had such a wonderful celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And that was, we read about that in chapter 8. And actually went back to doing it the right way for the first time since Joshua's day. And then they promised the Lord, we're going to do over and above what you require us to do in your law. And they followed through for a short period of time. But then in chapter 13, last time we saw that there was a problem that had crept in already. And it just teaches us that even when we have great victories as a church or as individuals in the spirit, that the devil can still get in. And that's, in fact, one of the times I believe we need to be the most careful. You know, it was after the great victory on the mountain there that Elijah ended up under the juniper tree. He had called fire down from above and slain 800 prophets of Baal. And the next thing you know, because one woman, of course she was the queen, but she got after him and he ran off into the wilderness and said, Lord, I'm ready to die. That's just no, you know, he got down. And I tend to have that same problem. I have great times of mountaintop experiences followed by low valleys. And so we see in chapter 13, if you remember, you can kind of read there in verses 6 through 7 and 8 or 9 there that we learned that Nehemiah had left Jerusalem. He had gone back to the palace in Shushan over there in Persia. And I don't know if he was called back or he just had promised to go back, but whatever it was, he left the work there and left others in charge and he went back. And I don't know how long it was, but when he came back to Jerusalem, he found problems. They had begun compromising with the world. You remember they had compromised in their marriages. They had married with those pagans that were there that God had specifically said, don't marry amongst those pagans in the land. And then also they had even let one of them come into the temple and set up shop, so to speak. And he was there, and of course we found out why, that one of the sons of the high priest was a son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite there. And Tobiah was his compadre, and he was the one that they had led into the temple. So there were problems there already. Well, tonight we're going to see a couple of other ways that they forsook their promises. They went back on their promises. And we're not going to read all that we read before, but we're going to start in verse 10. If you remember, we read down through verse 9, and then we skipped down to verse 23 last time, but we're going to pick up the middle of the book, beginning in verse 10. And this is Nehemiah speaking. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. So here we see the first problem is that we're talking about tonight is in they forsook the house of God. They went back on their promises. If you look back to chapter 10 and verse 39 for a minute, after the end of all these dedications and rededications and all that, it said the children of Israel, I mean, they were talking about what they're going to do to support the ministry and support the work of the temple. Verse 39 says, for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil into the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers. And listen to this. And we will not forsake the house of our God. We're not going to forsake the house of God anymore. It had been forsaken. It had been forsaken when they went back. They started rebuilding the temple under Zerubbabel. And when they got back there and started rebuilding the temple, they got stopped and then they went to their own houses and they let the house of the Lord just lie waste. The work of the rebuilding of the temple just lay waste for 15 years or so. And then the walls were broken down, and they needed to be rebuilt. And it had languished to the point where they were just a byword, and they were it was a scandalous thing. And you remember, that's what got Nehemiah all worked up in the beginning. Is he heard about how they were how the children of Israel that were there, the remnant that was left of the people over there. You remember the words it says, the remnant were in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And Nehemiah got all upset, and that's what prompted him to go back in the first place. Well, they promise, we will not forsake the house of our God. But what did we just read in verse 10? I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For listen, you know how he knew this? You want to know how? Now let me stop here and say this. We're going to be talking about supporting the work of the house of God, which includes in a very big way supporting the ministry, okay? Supporting your pastor, supporting other preachers, okay? I know we've talked a lot about this through this book. And I want to say up front that you support your pastor so well. I'm not going to preach to you like some of these name it and claim it preachers said. Now, if you'll just double my salary, you'll get double blessings. You know, if you'll give me, y'all start giving me $10,000 a month, y'all liable to get $20,000 a month in the mail, right? You know, that's what we hear in the world. That ain't this message, okay? That's not what I'm preaching here. Understand, I'm satisfied. I'm very satisfied, completely satisfied with what y'all do to support me. Thank you, and I appreciate it. That's not what this message is about. But as Brother Buddy has said very often, the time to preach about a problem is not during it, it's before it ever happens, okay? It's to lay the groundwork in order to make sure we understand why we do what we do. So with that disclaimer, I want to go back to what I'm saying, what we're preaching about here, which is that he saw that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. He saw that they were not supporting the ministry. They were not supporting the work of the house of God. How did he perceive that? Here's how he perceived it. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled, everyone to his field. You want to know how you can tell if a church is supporting the ministry or supporting not just their own pastor but others around? It's that if the ministers are not working, if the ministers are not laboring in the fields, in the field of the work of God, if they're going to their own fields and laboring, you see. And that's the point here. He's saying there has to be support. You know, I've gone to churches. We've talked about this before. I'm so thankful for the building we have. But again, the building is not the church. I understand that completely. The building is not the church. But beloved, you can tell how dedicated a congregation is sometimes to the work of the church by how their building is kept up. Okay? I've been to church, and that wasn't a Primitive Baptist church. Many years ago, Sherry and I were at a church, and you walked in the church. Well, you drive up to the church, and it looked just run down, dilapidated. Nothing taken care of around the church. Nothing taken care of on the building. You walk into the church, it had a musty, old, bad smell. Hadn't been cleaned. Hadn't been taken care of. Leaks, stuff like that. Listen, I know a church can get into a certain type of shape, and sometimes a congregation can't afford to keep it up. I get that. But you know, the vehicles I saw in the parking lot were mostly new, or maybe not completely new, but they were in good shape, and people were dressed nicely, and people I knew had good jobs, and the building was run down and shabby looking, you know? And beloved, I'm not talking about a congregation that can't, you know, just doesn't have the ability to take care of the church. But beloved, it doesn't take any money to go cut the grass. Well, I guess it takes a little money, but it doesn't take a lot. It takes effort, you know. It takes dedication to it. One of the things I appreciate about all of you men and women here is how you focus on the church. And so I'm going to single out Brother Roger Parker, but not because he was any better than anybody else, but I just never forget how many times, from time to time, Brother Roger would say, Brother Chris,
we need to fix this or we need to fix that. He'd bring it up, you know, and he was interested in it. And listen, again, I appreciate that here at Zion Church. We take care of the building, okay? And you take care of the preacher. But you can tell the dedication of a particular church congregation sometimes by how well they take care of the building and also by whether they support their minister or not. And here he said, I perceive that the portions of the things you had that were supposed to be given, the material things that were supposed to be given to the Levites hadn't been given them because they had to go back home and neglect the work of the temple and go back to their own fields in order to get by. So remember what they had said they would do, by the way. Go back sometime. We already said we will not forsake the house of God. Back in chapter 10 again, you can read verses 32 through 39. They said, we're gonna pay the temple tax, which was in the law. We're going to provide wood for the altar. We're going to bring tithes and offerings to the priests and the Levites. But they hadn't done that. When they had gotten stopped from rebuilding the temple by a decree of the king there, the Persian king, that's understandable that they paused the work. And there's times when it's a proper for us to maybe say, okay, well, they're telling us we can't do this. Let's try to go through the right channels and get it fixed. But they didn't even try that. And so for 15 years, the work of the temple languished. And you remember what Haggai did? When he was sent on the scene, God sent him with this message. He said, is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? And of course, those Jews in that day got back to work and they rebuilt the temple. And the Jews in Nehemiah's day had gotten back to work, but now they've stopped. So they had failed to support the ministry. They had ignored Moses' law. So what happened? Over in Malachi chapter 3. Now again, I say this again, that I've preached on this before, and it's an awkward thing to have to preach on as a preacher, but it's only because we're human. It's in the Word of God. It ought not be awkward, Brother Buddy, because it's in the Word of God, but it is awkward because I realize that I'm speaking to people, including myself, about giving of their substance to support the church. So here's what happens when we neglect to support the church, or to support the ministry of the church, the work of the church. In chapter 3 and verse 8 of Malachi, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. He said, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be meat in mine house. He said, when we don't support the work of the temple or the work of the house of God, it's like we're robbing God. He says elsewhere that one way they did that was by bringing the lame of the offering. You know, if you owned a big flock of sheep, and you had a little lame or blemished lamb over here, that would be the one you'd want to get rid of, right? You want to cull that out. Well, we do that, you know, we do that with cattle. You know, you cull out the cattle and sell them. Well, what they were doing in the time of Malachi is that they were bringing lame sheep. They were bringing the culls and letting that be the sacrifice. And they said, don't do that. You're supposed to bring in the first fruit. And plus, the lambs of the flock that were to be offered as sacrifices had to be without blemish. They had to be the best of your flock. And let me just say this, beloved. It's, you know, we're talking about money and material things here. I understand that. But there's more to forsaking the house of God than just not giving. It's not giving of yourself, okay? It's not giving of your time. It's not coming to the house of God. That's one thing we can do. You know, we can neglect it by not coming. He says in chapter 10 of Hebrews in verse 26, he said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and the more often as you see the day approaching. Beloved, he just requires a very small amount of time here in the church. Think about our week here that we have our time together. It's 2 or 3 hours on Sunday, okay? Maybe 1 hour, hour and a half on Wednesday. Beloved, that's a small part of our week. And so sometimes we neglect the house of God by just not coming. I know there's oxes in the ditch. He gives us a pass on that. He understands. You get your ox in the ditch, and that's just part of it. Some people have jobs that they can't help. They have to work on some Sundays. But I'll tell you this. One thing I've always heard a preacher say more than once is, if your ox is always getting in the ditch, maybe you need to sell the ox or fill in the ditch. You know, that can be a problem, right? But he understands that. I'm not talking about having to miss for things like that, that work and that sort of thing. But beloved, we ought to be focused on, even when we miss, we ought to be missing the house of God. You see, we ought to be missing it. I've had to miss very rarely over the past 15 or 20 years. But when I've missed, I've missed it. I've missed it. I remember one time I had a mild case of the flu. It was like a low-grade fever. It's type B flu or something. It was something weird. I didn't feel horrible, but I didn't want to come, and I didn't want to spread it. And we didn't have this online stuff back then. That was a miserable day for me. I missed the morning and night service, and it was miserable. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back, because there's been other times in my life when I didn't bother me too much to miss. But when we miss the house of God, we ought to miss it. But beloved, the other thing is this. When we're at the house of God, we ought not to be missing it. See what I'm saying? You ever been there? You ever showed up at a church service? I'm back. Okay, let's get this over with. Let's just get through. You know, somebody said one time, I can't do what I want to do on Sunday. I have to go to church. Now, that's the wrong kind of attitude, isn't it? That's the wrong kind of attitude. You know, I confess to you, I've been there before. I hate to even confess this, but there's even times being your pastor when I was like, okay, I got to get up and ready to go, okay? Now, I will say this. I can't remember a time I've ever, even when I started out that way, that I ever ended up that way after being at church. I'll tell you. Sometimes I've been tired here. Sometimes I've been kind of, I wish I didn't have to go. And then I show up and the Lord is here and you're here and we have the great spiritual time that we have. Praise God. I've never been here, but what I left feeling better. I'm so glad I came. But here's the point, you know, I have to go to church. No, beloved, you get to go to church. You get to go to church. We have the privilege of going to church. We don't, you know, listen, think about how much greater a privilege it is today than even it was under the Old Testament system of worship. In the Old Testament system of worship, there was, you know, you had the outer court, and you had the inner court, but then you had the Holy of Holies. The only person that got to go into the actual presence of God, and that was only once a year, was the high priest. He was the only one, and he had to get right. He had to make sure he had bathed in the right way and dressed in the right way and prayed in the right way. And then, you know, it was possible that if he went in there in the wrong way, the Lord might strike him dead. Beloved, praise God. We're in the presence of God every day, and particularly when we come to the house of God.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.